It's been another Champions League night that belongs to Cristiano Ronaldo.
Fred with the first time cross into the box towards Ronaldo, knocked it down to Lingard. Ronaldo! In the final minute of added time, Cristiano Ronaldo has won it for Manchester United. Squeeze it into the corner from the tightest of angles. And on the night when he becomes the Champions League's record appearance holder, he's done it again. He lights up Old Trafford. Manchester United 2, Villarreal 1.
His late winner broke Villarreal hearts and sent Old Trafford into raptures. Meanwhile, the defending champions were down in Turin. Benfica claimed a 3-0 win over Barcelona, while Bayern, Zenit, Salzburg and Atalanta all claimed crucial victories. We'll break it all down after another breathless Champions League night. Well, welcome along. I'm Rob Daly, and we're going to be looking back on another brilliant night of action in this season's group stage. I'm joined by commentators Adam Summerton and John Bradley. Hello, gents. And we have
evening
European football expert Andy Brassel as well. Andy, Cristiano Ronaldo, like Lionel Messi last night, showing that these two have still got big occasions in this competition in them.
Yeah, they certainly have, Rob. A remarkable ending at Old Trafford. So little for Manchester United fans to really get their teeth into over this game. It was really hard going for them. Villarreal made it tough for them. A few flashbacks to the UEFA Europa League final, I think. But now they have their, well, not so secret weapon, I guess.
Okay, it's time to do the three-word match reports, and I suggest Adam Summerton's took a bit of a rewrite right at the end there. Adam, what's your three-word match report?
Ronaldo, the difference.
And he certainly was with his legs right. John Bradley, yours for Juve Chelsea.
Old Lady Roars.
Okay, very good work. Very good work, gents. Very good work, John. Okay, let's run through the scores from the second night of action on match day two in the UEFA Champions League. In Group E, it finished Bayern 5, Dinamo Kiev 0, Benfica 3, Barcelona 0. In Group F, Manchester United 2, Villarreal 1. The other game in that group finishing earlier in the day, Atalanta 1. Young Boys 0. Group G, Wolfsburg 1, Sevilla 1, Salzburg 2, Lille 1, and in Group H, Juve 1, Chelsea 0, and the other game in that section being Zenit 4, Malmö 0 in the early kickoffs. And remember, if you want to hear what happened in Tuesday's matches, download our Tuesday review podcast where we go all through that brilliant messy goal against Manchester City. Andy Brassel, there are many great stories tonight, but I think it's probably worth, before we get into it in depth, worth picking out Benfica's victory, wild celebrations after their commanding win over Barcelona.
Yes, and they've started so well in the Liga back home. 7 wins out of 7 to be top of the table in what's a very competitive Portuguese title race. But the itch that Jorge Jesus needs to scratch is in the UEFA Champions League. He said it at the start of last season when he returned to the club. He said it again at the start of this season. And finally, after a not that exciting draw at Dinamo Kiev in the first game, they really have lift off with something that will have got the fans in that atmospheric stadium so excited.
Okay, we'll go through all the games in depth, but let's really start with Manchester United 2, Villarreal 1. Adam, I'm sure you've caught your breath by now, but I think many people, you know, myself included, will feel Villarreal should have won the game at Old Trafford.
Yeah, they should. They'll come away with a lot of regrets. I mean, it's an incredibly long unbeaten run as well in both the UEFA Champions League and the UEFA Europa League. They've gone 16 matches in those two competitions combined unbeaten. They hadn't lost in La Liga this season, so that really emphasises how big a victory that is as well tonight for Manchester United. But you're right, Villarreal shouldn't have lost this game. In fact, they should have won it. I mean, they had enough chances in the first half to be 2 or 3 nil up. I mean, if you were really being generous, you could have said even they could have scored 4 in the first half. David De Gea has pulled off 3 real top-class saves. He pulled off another brilliant double save in the second half when I think the score was at 1-1. To create so many chances and come away with nothing, Unai Emery will feel so disappointed tonight, Rob.
He certainly will. Let's remind ourselves of how this one unfolded at Old Trafford.
Looking dangerous. dangerous here, Villarreal in the box. Pino shot! And a good strong right hand there from David De Gea down to his right, kept that out. Another good save, the third real top save he's made in this first half from David De Gea. Dan Juma's made his way into the box, and it's been turned in by Paco Alcácer. Villarreal on the counter-attack. Dan Juma's cross, tapped home from close range. It comes all the way across here and hit on the volley brilliantly into the bottom corner. Tremendous goal from Alex Telles on the volley. The set-piece routine paid off. He could not have hit that more precisely. Glorious goal at Old Trafford. Manchester United 1, Villarreal 1. Frick with the first time cross into the box towards Ronaldo. Knocked it down to Lingard. Ronaldo! In the final minute of added time, Cristiano Ronaldo has won it for Manchester United. Squeeze it into the corner from the tightest of angles. And on the night when he becomes the Champions League's record appearance holder, he's done it again. Manchester United 2, Villarreal 1.
Yeah, deep into added time, that winner, Viva Ronaldo, echoed out at Old Trafford at full-time. Adam and Andy, who are on commentary with me. Where should we start? Should we go back a little bit earlier in the game and how Manchester United were getting Andy Brassel caught in real trouble down their right, down the Villarreal left, and eventually that did bear fruit for the visitors?
Yeah, that's right, Rob. Arno Danjuma, I think, was the outstanding player of that first half, and they found it really hard to handle him. Diego Dalot was exposed. He didn't really have a lot of defensive help. United tried to shift shape to stop that happening. They pushed Lindelof out to the right-hand side, coming across from centre-half to try and help. But it was David De Gea who made sure that they went in at half-time level. Felt as if Manchester United got things on more of an even keel in the second half, but it was from that exact spot that Danjuma created the opener for Paco Alcácer. But Manchester United do have just an enormous amount of individual quality, and it was individual quality that got them back into this game. The Telles equaliser is absolutely fantastic, but I do think of the changes that they made, Edinson Cavani made an absolutely enormous difference. We talked about how he might be able to give Villarreal something difficult to think about, different to think about, how they would find it harder to play the ball out with him because he is just a serial harasser of defenders. And it was him chasing a lost cause on that left-hand side, deep into stoppage time, that ended up with them getting the ball back and Ronaldo scoring the winner.
And by the way, the UEFA player of the match was Arno Danjuma after his outstanding showing down the left-hand side for Villarreal. And is there a way that United can, into their starting 11, incorporate Cavani and Ronaldo? Or is it the kind of thing they can only do in a scenario like this, throw on one late into the game if they're needing a goal?
I think it's a question that has to be asked. I mean, it would need a reshape of the team, I think. And we've seen Edinson Cavani play in wide areas for Paris Saint-Germain, especially when Zlatan Ibrahimovic was there in the French capital. So maybe that's not the ideal choice for Edinson Cavani, but there has been a slight rearrangement of the hierarchy at Manchester United since Cristiano Ronaldo's arrived, and quite understandably so. So it would be interesting to see how that would work for them.
They've certainly got options, haven't they?
And something
that really interested me as well was the dynamic in terms of Bruno Fernandes and Cristiano Ronaldo too. I think we mentioned it during commentary, didn't we? We've seen it with them playing together for Portugal. Some say that maybe Bruno Fernandes and Ronaldo maybe don't combine quite as well as people would like them to for Portugal. It's interesting to see how it works with Manchester United, but also how, I think you mentioned it, Andy, as well, how in the team talk, in the tunnel at half-time, it was Bruno Fernandes leading it. It was Ronaldo taking a back seat. We're not used to seeing Ronaldo like this, are we?
That's right. And it's interesting because the way Fernandes directs things on the pitch, it's like the Telles goal. He spots the possibility. Fernandes spots the possibility when no one else on the pitch does. And over the last 2 years, that is what has worked best for Manchester United. Bruno Fernandes directing operations. But you saw little signs, I think, throughout the game, even if Manchester United weren't at their best, of Fernandes and Ronaldo combining better and better throughout the game. And, you know, we go back to Paris Saint-Germain last night, for example. You know, one of the best front threes on paper that anyone's ever seen, and Mbappe, Neymar and Leo Messi. It takes time to gel, even for the best players in the world. And that's the way that Manchester United are moving it.
Well, Bruno Fernandes says it was a tough game, but he's very happy with the win.
It's always difficult to play against Spanish teams. We know they play really well. They are good on the ball. We know the coach also was here in England already. Their teams always play a good football in defense, really well organized. It's always tough to play against them, but I think we do a good job. Sometimes we have to be patient and don't press all the time. And I think we do the right job. The main point was the 3 points and we get it.
They did get it late. Adam, do you want to break down that late moment, the winner for Ronaldo? It was an extraordinary, proper Champions League moment at Old Trafford.
Yeah, absolutely was. I mean, I thought Lingard put himself about when he came on, and that played a part in it, just being a presence in the box, being somebody extra for Villarreal to occupy the mind, to keep an eye on. He got a touch, and I think it was Fred who initially played it into the area. But yeah, they just struggled to get it clear, and it just dropped for Ronaldo. And I have to say, in that sort of split second as the ball came to him, I thought that the angle might be against him, but he's done really well to squeeze it in, and it's come off the goalkeeper, who's tried to save it at his near post, and it's gone into the corner in the end, and it ended up bouncing up into the roof of the net. But yeah, in the final minute of added time, in front of the Stretford end, you know, if you were going to script an ending for Manchester United, Ronaldo scores it on the night that becomes the Champions League's record appearance holder. You know, they call it the Theatre of Dreams for a reason, Rob.
It's amazing. Second oldest player to score a goal in Europe for United after Brian Robson. Andy, I know you watch a lot of American sports, and they talk about clutch, someone who's good in the clutch late in the game. Do you believe Ronaldo's that kind of guy?
Yes, he absolutely is. I mean, there's no questioning of that. But I think you can tell that he is by the fact that everyone knows it's coming. It's the stoppage time winner that everyone's expecting, in a way, because, as I said, when you see the replay of it, the fact that originally Ronaldo looks like he's going to set it up because he heads it down very intelligently for Lingard. Lingard can't get there, and the touch ends up going off to Ronaldo. And the minute that Lingard sees it's going to Ronaldo, he simply covers his head and gets out the way, because he knows what's coming.
I don't want to ruin this because someone else is going to fix it. Excellent. Okay, gents, thank you very much. More from the boys to come. Earlier in the day, by the way, in Group F, Atalanta faced Young Boys again. Matchday Live brought you all the action, as Phil Blacker describes.
Deeper delivery at this time, and Toloi did get a foot to it, almost broke for Zapata. It's still not yet away. Back here for Rafael Toloi to return it again. Zapata, and then arriving beyond him was Pessina, and he couldn't quite force it in on the far post. Big chance for Matteo Pessina. Zapata's done well here to keep it alive, cut it back, where Pessina applies the finishing touch. And at the midway point of the second half, Atalanta have made their pressure pay. It's Atalanta 1, Young Boys 0.
What a finish. I mean, I wouldn't say it came against the run of play, but they moved so quickly down that right-hand side. And, you know, Pessina got across that front post, almost similar to how Olivier Giroud does, and great finish.
And the full-time whistle goes in Bergamo. It's Atalanta who take all 3 points here with a hard-fought victory against Young Boys, and one that takes Giampiero Gasperini's side to the top of the early standings in Group F.
Phil joined there by former England international Leanne Sanderson. Atalanta with the win to take them on to 4 points, top of the group, and they face Manchester United next at Old Trafford on match day 3. Adam, you watch lots of Serie A football. Do you think Atalanta, having potentially seen what Villarreal did tonight against United, will they fancy their chances in those head-to-head games against Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's side?
Well, I think that in Giampiero Gasperini, that they have a coach who will fancy himself up against Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I mean, I keep saying, when's the statue going up of Gasperini in Bergamo? I mean, what he's done for that club is just incredible. I think I said to Andy off air earlier, Rob, that, you know, Atalanta, in fact, it was actually you that I was speaking to, that when you look at their budget, they should be lower mid-table, really, in Serie A. They've finished in the Champions League positions now three seasons in a row, and not just that, they've had a real go in the UEFA Champions League too, so I fully expect them to be a real threat. This is a really competitive and difficult group. It's becoming really good to watch as well. It's hard to call. It really is. And Atalanta have certainly got the weapons to cause problems. There's absolutely no doubt about that.
What do you reckon, Andy?
Yes, I think they could. And it'll be really interesting two matches between Manchester United and Atalanta, because Atalanta were disappointed with what happened against Liverpool. I think when you go into the group last season, they think they could do a little bit better than that. And, you know, they've been close to really going deep in the Champions League for the last couple of seasons. So it's something that they'll want to do. But, you know, young boys weren't a long way short of them today. I mean, they were disappointed not to get a point, which would have been an incredible start. They've still had a good start. But this group is really, really open, especially with that United winner at Old Trafford.
Yeah, Atalanta top, 4 points. Young Boys second, 3 points. United third, 3 points after their win. And Villarreal bottom on 1 point. Next, Young Boys host Villarreal. Atalanta go to Manchester United. OK, to Turin next, where Juventus hosted the defending champions Chelsea. John Bradley, watch this one.
Amazing start to the second half as the ball is played forward and Chiesa is there and he drives the ball home into the back of the Chelsea net. It's 10 seconds into the second half. The ball drilled forward, Chiesa onto it in a flash and slams the ball high into the Chelsea net. It's Juventus 1, Chelsea 0.
8 minutes to go and counting. Barkley in towards Lukaku, spins and he fires over. With the goal at his mercy, Bonucci just did enough to put him off. But that was the chance, the first moment for Romelu Lukaku to get the ball at his feet, to spin in the box, and he shoots over from 10 metres. Thrown in under the crossbar, and the header is up and over the top. Kai Havertz, 5 metres out, and he met the ball beautifully. He got the jump on everyone, but he's put it up over the top. He couldn't control the header. The chance to level the game comes with the last chance of the game.
The match winner was the UEFA player of the match. Federico Chiesa's goal so early in the second half. Saw off Chelsea. John's with us now, having covered the game. John, what a moment. The kind of moment that can not only catch out defenders, but commentators sometimes so early in the second half.
You're looking at it and you're thinking, yep, the game's underway, and now, and they're moving forward downfield. And then all of a sudden, bang, they're in. And listen, what happened was they kicked off. A long ball went forward. It was flicked on by Adrian Rabiot. Bernardeschi got the ball at his feet and then just stabbed the ball into the penalty area. This is all down the left-hand side as Juventus are attacking. And Chiesa just explodes into the box. And while he's running full pace, he swivels his body and he unleashes this thunderous left-footed shot that Mendy's got no chance about, and it just hammers into the back of the net. And it's a wonderful start to the second half. And remember, Juventus went into the game with a front two tonight of Bernardeschi and Chiesa because of the injuries to Dybala and to Morata. And it was a case of trying to find a way through. And what they did was they sat deep, they played on the break in their own stadium. And in Chiesa, there is nobody better running from halfway and troubling defenders, going past defenders. And he was the one who created chances in the first half. He got the goal in the second half, and certainly Chelsea would have been delighted to see the back of him 15 minutes from time. The facts are, though, Rob, that Chelsea will be furious that they didn't get anything out of this game. They've had 75% of the possession. They had 16 attempts on goal, 12 in the second half. Significantly, though, they didn't hit the target or test the goalkeeper with any of those 12 in the second half. There were 5 blocked attempts, and that means that the scramble cover defence of Juventus was exemplary, and the poor performance of Leonard Bonucci tonight was, well, just typical of the man and typical of the great stalwart heroic icon that he's been for so many years. Just a masterclass in central defensive play. Credit too to the likes of Locatelli and Betancourt and De Ligt. And there was a little cameo late on from Chiellini as he came on to shore things up. But they'll be very, very happy with the way that they've managed to nick that victory tonight and to take the box seat in that group.
Well, let's hear from one of the players who came on for Chelsea, Ruben Loftus-Cheek. Disappointed to lose, albeit to a top team.
We had most of the possession, and they let us have it at times. And I think we didn't use that to the best of our ability. No, our quality wasn't at our highest standard. And when you play teams like this, the way Juventus play and how good they are defending in that tight, compact block, if you're not playing good football at the quality you should be, then it's going to be hard to break them down, full stop.
They had a flying start to the season. It is two defeats in a row, albeit to Manchester City and Juve. Do you think Chelsea will dwell on this for too long, John?
One shot on target tonight, none at the weekend against Manchester City.
Yeah,
couple of players out as well, important players. And Havertz didn't have a great night, and Ziyech didn't have a great night. And we saw players that we don't regularly see, like Barkley and Loftus-Cheek, coming onto the field tonight as well as they tried to change things around. So, significant and interesting the way that Tuchel tried to set his side up and tried to get them back in the game. The fact is that Juventus was so well marshalled by Bonucci, and the moment of the night was there was a ball played forward on the edge of the Juventus penalty area looking for Lukaku to break the lines and break in behind and get a shot on goal. Bonucci read it yesterday in the papers, I think, you know, the Telegraph, the ball as it came through, but not just clearing the ball away, he then ran up to halfway, played a little 1-2, kept going all the way to the other penalty area, got to the edge of the box, tried a double step over on Antonio Rudiger, who made a despairing last-ditch attempt to win the ball from him and stop him actually going clean through on goal and having a shot. Now, that would have been a collector's item, Bonucci going from one end of the field to the other.
John, thank you very much. More from John shortly. The other game in the group was the early kickoff between Zenit and Malmo, which finished 4-0. To Zenit. Claudinho got the scoring going, Kuzyaev with a fine header, doubled the advantage shortly after half time. Malmo were reduced to 10 men shortly after that. Then Suturmin made it 3-0 with 10 to play, and Van Dale got one in added time. Andy Brassel, a nice win that for Zenit, who actually, as John actually mentioned earlier in the show, put in a very respectable performance against Chelsea on match day one.
Yeah, they did, and they would have been disappointed to come away with nothing from that, especially as John was saying earlier, after Artem Dzyuba missed that late chance in that. Zenit have flattered to deceive a lot in the UEFA Champions League. You know, they've been building towards this since winning the UEFA Cup in 2008. They've been building towards making a proper run in the UEFA Champions League, and they've never quite managed to do that, despite having the talent, despite having some very good coaches down the years, including Luciano Spalletti as well. And they will hope that this will be the start of something, although it will be difficult with Juventus and Chelsea in the group.
Okay, four more games to get through, Andy. Let's start with Group E then. Bayern 5, Dynamo Kiev 0. A pretty routine victory for Julian Nagelsmann and his men.
Yes, but Dinamo showed that they have quality in that first game against Benfica. It looked easy because Bayern make it look easy. You know, they are incredibly good. 8 goals scored and none conceded in the first two games of the group so far. And it's hard to escape the conclusion that they're going to win this group quite comfortably. And they're one of the favourites for the trophy. There's no doubt about that.
4 goals now in 2 games for Robert Lewandowski after his brace. Serge Gnabry at the midway point in the second half smacked in the third in off the bar. Leroy Sané's attempt to cross the ball sort of ricocheted off his foot in a bizarre way and ended up flying past the goalkeeper before Choupo-Moting added to it late on off the bench for Bayern, who came into the game top of the Bundesliga as well. They're absolutely flying after their match day one win at Barcelona. And Barca, speaking of them, Andy, back-to-back 3-0 defeats now in the competition after a loss at Benfica. We'll come to the Barca side of things in a moment. But first of all, from a Benfica point of view, how big is that win in Lisbon?
It's huge. They want to do something in the Champions League this season. And just a brilliant start from them. We talked before the start of the game about the incredible variety of attacking talent they've got and how extraordinarily they've probably got more depth than Barcelona at the moment. But Darwin Núñez and Roman Yaremchuk were really at it tonight. A brilliant first goal by Darwin to open the floodgates. But Yaremchuk is such an intelligent player, such a great foil for him. You've got Rafa Silva, who's a very, very direct playmaker just behind them as well. And João Mário had a terrific game too.
He certainly did. He played his part in the second goal. Wonderful individual effort from Darwin Núñez to get the scoring up and running. Let's hear from the Barcelona head coach next then, Ronald Koeman.
They scored really fast in the beginning, and after that the reaction of the team was really good. I think we had to score at least one or two goals to change the game. And of course, after the 2-0, it was difficult. We didn't create anything more, in my opinion, we play well. We play during 60, 70 minutes. We are the better team. We had the best chances to score, but the difference is the effectivity, what they had and we didn't have.
Ronald Koeman there, the Barcelona head coach, feeling aggrieved by the fact his team were beaten 3-0 in the end, but it means back-to-back defeats to start their Champions League campaign. Andy Brassel, final group. Let's go to Group G. Wolfsburg 1, Sevilla 1. Wolfsburg's first home Champions League game since they beat Real Madrid in 2016. They thought they were going to win here. Renato Steffen put them ahead, but then a late penalty given away by Joshua Gilavogi, who was subsequently sent off, was converted by Ivan Rakitic. And more draws for those two teams in Group G, Andy.
Yeah, they were so close to getting it over the line, Wolfsburg. But their performance, I think, gave them hope going forward. It was far improved on the first match day against Lille, I thought.
And the other game in Group G saw Salzburg claim a victory. They saw off Lille by 2-1. And remember, Salzburg on match day one had 3 penalties awarded to them. They missed 2 of them. They had 2 on Wednesday night, converted both. Adeyemi, who missed one against Sevilla, scored 2 penalties. Burak Yilmaz pulled one back with a free kick, but it was not enough. And Adeyemi got UEFA's Player of the Match award after his heroics from the penalty spot. So that's how all 8 games played out in the Champions League on Wednesday night on match day 2. Let's roll through our summary of the action. How about we hear from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer after Manchester United's win over Villarreal came late. He said it was a very tough game against a strong team.
Yeah, they're a good team. They're a very, very hard team to beat. They've not lost a game since way before the final, and they played some good teams before as well. It's a difficult one because we're at home, we want to win, but they play so well. But if we don't go and press them, they'll be happy enough sitting off. So
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer there. Well, let's hear from Villarreal's head coach, who's been speaking in the last few moments. Unai Emery said they had chances to kill the game off themselves.
Yes, we had the first half, the second half less, but we had that as well. And I think we controlled the match like we wanted to do, and our planning was this contact with the positioning, with the ball, with the passes, with the combination, and little by little to impose our idea on the field, but with a little chances they could win. And they made it.
The thoughts there of Unai Emery. By the way, no player has scored more 90th minute winning goals in Champions League history than Ronaldo. However, it's only 3 level with Aguero. I thought it'd be way more than that. It brings us nicely to our moments of the night. And I suppose, Adam Summerton, you're going to go with the obvious.
Yeah, I have to, don't I? You can't not go with it, can you? A winner in front of the Stretford End from Cristiano Ronaldo in such a big night for him and the club as well. But I have to mention as well, Rob, David De Gea, what a night. He'd actually be my man of the match tonight for Manchester United.
OK, let's go to John Bradley. John, your moment of the match between Juventus and Chelsea.
Yeah, I already mentioned it. On a night where Leonardo Bonucci produced a defensive masterclass, his 80-metre run downfield was just brilliant to see, and just wish it would have ended in a goal because it was just brilliant.
OK, and Andy Brassel, you get the final word from all of the other games, 6 other games. What was your moment of the night?
Darwin Núñez, a future star, well, a present star of the UEFA Champions League.
He scored a brilliant individual goal to get things running against Barcelona and converted his penalty pass, Marc-Andre Ter Stegen, to see them off. Congratulations to Benfica for a famous win, and congratulations to Ronaldo for making history. The most appearances in the competition's history now. And, of course, he marked the occasion with an added time winner against Villarreal. Well, that is all we have time for tonight. What a fantastic match day two we've had in the competition. And remember to join us from 6 p.m. CEST throughout the group stage for more live commentary, analysis and drama. We will be back on Tuesday, the 19th of October for match day three. And remember to download our podcast shortly after every match night via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Match Day Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.